So, welcome back. We have a little change, contrary to what your program says. We have Matthias Dietz here, who will talk about the same topic, ID generation. Have fun.
Okay. So, hello. Originally, I planned to talk about a different topic together with my colleague, Alexander. In fact, the next topic in this room, but my two other colleagues, Saurabh and Abhidnya, were not able to come over to the Samba XP, so I took their presentation and, took their slot and speak for them. So, short introduction of myself, and, Saurabh and Abhidnya are two colleagues of mine working in the India lab for IBM. And my name is Matthias Dietz, and I'm working in Mainz in the research and development lab of IBM, and I'm an architect in the Sonas and StoreWise V7000 Unify team. I added some links to the products, but this is not the topic today. That was quick, right? Okay, I'm talking about Autorit and problems with Autorit and in general about ID mapping. As you know, on Unix-based systems, everything is about UIDs and GIDs, while Windows systems use SIDs. And Samba provides already several ways, or has already several ID mapping modules, so-called identity management modules, to map SIDs to UIDs and GIDs. And two problems we face, especially with our customers, is that the customer environments get more and more complex, right? They have grown over the last years, and they get larger, they get more complex, having multiple trusts and sites and so on. And we see that there is a common requirement for replication between storage systems, right? Which means you need to have a way how this ID mapping is synchronized, or at least the same on different systems, right? And we looked into the existing Samba ID mapping modules, and I listed a few of them, like IDMap TDB2 and AutoRIT and IDMapRIT or AD. And you know, some of them are not cannot be used in replicated environments because, like IDMap TDB2, it creates some local mapping which is just local to the cluster or to the node, but other Samba servers do not know about this mapping, and they would generate a completely different mapping. But there are also some other modules like IDMapRIT or IDMapAD, but they have different advantages, disadvantages. Like IDMapRIT, for example, it's quite hard to configure, right? Because you need to know your infrastructure upfront. So you need to know all your domains. You need to know what ranges do you reserve for the domains and so on. And at least for our customers, we often see that customers have problems telling us what is the exact domain, you know, infrastructure, the domain configuration, how many domains do you have, what users are going to access the storage system, and so on. Then there's another module, the ADMAP AD, which is basically using Microsoft services for Unix to store the IDs in Active Directory. But the problem is that on older Windows servers systems, it requires a schema extension, and customers really don't like that. And on newer systems, the schema extension is not really needed anymore, but it's still required that you maintain all your IDs in Active Directory, and this is also, for some customers, a big problem. So they just want that it works, right, without having any additional maintenance on their side, especially on the Active Directory side. And one additional disadvantage is that both do not really deal with built-ins and well-known sets. So what's left? Autorit. Autorit is a module which has been developed by us, in fact, by Christian, my colleague, 2 or 3 years ago even. And it's basically a module which is similar to the RIT, IDMAP RIT module, but instead of having a manual configuration for each domain, it will automatically create ranges for new domains once a domain appear or once a user from a domain tries to access the system. But the problem with AutoRIT, it also has some problems. So let's start with the first problem in AutoRIT. A range allocation is not deterministic, which means if you have 2 independent systems and you have 3 domains, then AutoRIT, you know, allocates a range for each domain. But the order in which the ranges are allocated depend on the order the users access the system, which means if the users on the primary system access the system in a different order than on the secondary system, then your ranges are mixed up. And if you now start to migrate or to replicate data between system 1 and system 2, then you can imagine this will not work because the IDs, you know, are not the same, right? And wrong people will have access to the data, and the people who should have access to the data don't have access anymore. So how do we solve that? So what we did in our product in Zonas is we defined master and slave systems. So you can have multiple slave systems. And in Zamba, it's just, you know, using the option AutoRIT read-only. So every slave system will be configured as a read-only, and every master system will be read-write, which means new domains can only be added on the master system. And on the slave system, if a user of an unknown domain connects, then he will not be able to connect because, you know, the AutoRIT module is not able to map the user, and it will just reject the connection. And but still, to be able to use these domains on the slave system, you need some way to export and import the mapping from a master system to the slave system. And the note on the bottom, the good thing is that domain additions or changes to domains in a customer environment are relatively seldom. So if you provide a scheduled synchronization between the master and the slave system, in most cases, this is good enough, right? Even if it happens daily or weekly, because, as I said, it doesn't happen very often that new domains are added. And this is a difference to the IDMAP TDB2, as you might know, because in IDMAP TDB2, every single user is mapped, which means every single user access would need to be synchronized to a second system. And this, you know, could happen all the time, while adding a new domain is, as I said, relatively seldom. To synchronize the master and the slave system with each other, we currently work on a patch for Zamba to extend the net command to extract or export the AutoRIT range configuration and the AutoRIT global configuration, and to import that on another node or another system, right? One important remark is that the import and the configure of the range on the slave system will even work if you have read-only enabled, because it will directly go to the TDB instead of going through the IDMAP module. And by using these net commands, then you can really sync up a master with multiple slave systems. You have to provide your tooling around that for sure, write a script or do a cron job to do that, but it provides the basic means to do that. Okay, second challenge. Current problem with AutoRIT is that large RIDs may not fit into the range. I guess most of you or all of you know what a RID is. On the bottom of the page, you see a typical SID, and the last part of the SID is the RID, and the beginning part of the SID is the domain ID. So what AutoRID currently does is if a user accesses the system, then it uses the domain ID to look up the range of UIDs and GIDs where the user is taken from, and then it uses the RID and adds them to the range to get a UID out of that. But I will come to that in more detail on later charts. The problem currently is if the RID is larger than the range size, because then you have, a range overflow. And in this case, the AutoRID module just aborts and will generate an error. So every user which has a higher RID than the range size will not work. And as I said in the beginning, customer environments are growing larger and larger. And every time you delete something in Active Directory and create something new, the RID is increased of this user. So we already had customers having a RID larger than 1 million, even that they didn't have 1 million users, but over time they had created a lot of users and deleted them again. So they had large RIDs, and these RIDs and these users did not work on our system, right? So the approach to that is to provide a new implementation of the ID mapping algorithm in the AutoRID module, and to allow to assign multiple ranges to a single domain if that happens. To do that, one of our goals was to keep the current configuration format so that we are backwards compatible to the existing configurations and setups. As you see, here's an example of the SMB conf configuration. This is unchanged. And on the bottom, you see an excerpt of the AutoRID TDB and the new implementation will be able to use the existing format, but in addition, it will add an additional format for the additional domains created for ranges created for a single domain. So some details on that. How will this new algorithm work in AutoRID? The AutoRID system or AutoRID ID map module will calculate a multiplier. And the multiplier is basically the RID divided by the range size, which means if the RID fits in the range size, then it will be zero because we use the floor function. If the RID is larger than the range size, then we will get, the number, how much larger it is, the factor. And depending on the multiplier, then a search key is created. And with the search key, the AutoRID module is looking in the AutoRID TDB if a range definition for this domain and this key already exists. And the important point here is if the multiplier is zero, then the search key is just the domain set, which means it can use, and let's jump back to the previous slide, it can use the existing definition of the old AutoRID module, because in this case, the definition was just the domain SID, right? But if the multiplier is non-zero, then we will attach an additional hash multiplier to the SID and make a new entry in the AutoRID TDB. So if this key is found in the AutoRID TDB, then we know the domain number, and we use the formula on the button to calculate the UID. which is, I have some examples later, which we can go through. One important thing to note is if you have multiple, or if you have a user which has a RID which is 10 times larger than the range size, it doesn't mean that we allocate ranges for 10 ranges for that user. We only allocate one range for all users which are 10 times larger than the range size. And if only if users which are 7 and 6 times larger than the range size come to the system, then we will all allocate these ranges as well. Now maybe this helps a bit to understand it a bit better. On the left, you see the old implementation, and on the right, you see the new implementation. On the left, you see the autoRID module search for the domain SID. If it was found, then it checked if the RID of the user was larger than the range size, and if yes, then it was just aborting. It was just creating an error. If no, then it calculated the ID based on the lower range size, the lower range definition of the autoRID module, the range size itself plus the RID, and then you had the UID. For the new implementation, it's using this multiplier, right? So it calculates a multiplier. If the multiplier is 0, then it basically has the same than here. So it just searches for the SID and goes to this formula. If the multiplier is not 0, then it will attach the hash multiplier to the key, look for this entry, and calculate that as well. This way, you can really have multiple extents to your initial range and really can map every single user. Okay, here's an example, a concrete example. Test user 1 tries to, from domain XYZ, tries to access the system. The test user has this SID. The RID of this SID is 1025. And I just, wrote down the ID map config so that you see the values. So with this information, the autoRID module is calculating the multiplier, which is the RID divided by the range size. The range size is 1 million. The RID divided by 1 million using the floor function is 0. Then the autoRID module takes the SID, not the full SID, only the domain part of the SID without the RID, to look in the autoRID TDB. And if there is no entry, then it will create a new entry with this domain and the domain number 0. And finally, it will calculate the UID by using the lower ID, which is this number here in the range definition, plus the domain number, which is 0, and the range size plus plus the RID, and finally the multiplier and the range size. So the result of that is the user gets this UID, which is 10,000,025. This was a quite easy example because it's the same for the autoRID module today. But now I have the second example. And here it's a bit different because now the RID is quite large. The RID of the user is 2,025,000. And the range size is just 1 million, which means the multiplier is 2. And we look up now in the TDB, is the domain hash 1? Okay, this is wrong. Hash 2, sorry, this was a copy and paste error. Hash 2 in the autoRID TDB. And if not, then we will create it. also with hash 2, so ignore the hash 1. Then finally, we will calculate the UID using the same formula, and you see the result of that is then 11,025,000. So, and you could do that with a lot of other IDs as well. You will always get a valid UID out of that. And and it's also reverse resolution from UID to SID is basically the same. Okay, let's come to our next challenge, challenge 3. Well-known sets are not mapped at all in AutoRIT. I think all of you know well-known sets. These are some special authorities in Windows, and I listed some examples like everyone is S110 or creator owner, and the original AutoRIT module did not support well-known sets, so they were just not mapped, which is a problem when using when you try to use these SIDs in ACL, for example, right? If you want to set an ACL and use everyone, then the old AutoRIT module just rejected that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but
So in our case, you know, Sonas and Stobas V7000 Unified uses GPFS as a file system, and we use NTFS ACLs. No, NTFS, NFS V4 ACLs. So we need to map them, right, to be able to store them. So, and the original AutoRIT module did not do that. So, what we did, and I think this has been committed already last year, is we extended the AutoRIT module, the IDMAP AutoRIT, to allocate, pre-allocate well-known sets. So we have a list of well-known sets within the IDMAP AutoRIT, and at startup, Christian might correct me if I'm wrong, this list of SIDs is pre-allocated in the allocation pool of the AutoRIT module. And they are allocated in exactly the same order, because it's hard-coded in the IDMAP module, so that it's deterministic and it's the same on each system. So it's replication safe, let's say it's this way. Okay, and finally, we had a fourth problem, which is built-in SIDs are not deterministic. You know, built-in SIDs are part of a special container called built-in, and every Windows system has these built-in users like administrators, print operators, and so on. And the built-in users don't have a domain part of the SID. They always start with S1532, right, which makes it hard to map. But the real problem is that currently the built-in users are allocated or created in, I don't know exactly, either by passdb or winbind, but the call to winbind itself does not even contain the SID. So it just calls wbc allocate gid and asks for the next free gid from the AutoRIT module, which means the AutoRIT module doesn't even know for what user a GID is asked for, right? Which makes it impossible for the ordered module to really answer with deterministic IDs here. It's always different on different systems. So the approach to solve that still needs to be resolved, but the idea we have is that we introduce a new interface in WinBind that allows you to not only ask for the next GID, but also provide the SID with that request, so that the auto-read module can either allocate a new or create a new range for built-ins and create deterministic IDs for built-ins, or use the existing well-known range or alloc pool for these built-in requests. Had a question? As I said, I didn't look deeper into that, so this still needs to be resolved. So maybe we can just use an existing call, as you said, and just make sure that this call is used instead of the WBC allocate GID call. Yeah, you're right. Keep talking. This was my last slide, so. Exactly, yeah. Okay. Any questions to that?
We've had similar problems in FreeIPA as well, where we do C2 UID mappings. And instead of doing the auto-read way, we used, we basically calculate the hash of the domain seed, and we, you know, decide which slot based on that. Why didn't you use that approach? Why do you allocate? Because we had a problem of replication, which we don't have in that case, because a specific domain will always map to a specific range deterministically in our case.
So what exactly did you do? You used IDMap.
We used an hashing algorithm to transform
the main
seed in a specific slot deterministically without. Yeah. We don't do an allocation.
Yes, this is another option. We looked into IDMap hash at the beginning when we thought about different ID mapping algorithms. But at this time, we talked to Tritch and Volker and others, and the risk of having hash collisions was still too high from our perspective, right? This was the reason why we did not use IDMap hash. But you are right, for the domain part, it would probably be less risk and less likely to have a collision. But we decided, to do it this way.
Just a risk analysis.
Yeah.
And why are you going to propose auto-read to be the default for Samba in the future?
Good question. At least it's simple, right? So it could be the default. And I think Christian, as the author of auto-read, did this recommendation, at least in his commit message. He proposed to use this as a default because it's just simple and still deterministic.